Everyone is searching for you. This line from our scripture lesson today really jumped out at me as I was preparing for this sermon. Everyone is searching for you. I think the reason is because in a time like this, in this weather, in this pandemic, in this political climate, it's so painfully obvious that everyone is searching for something. It says in the scriptures for the story today, it says, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. The whole city was either sick or possessed, or bringing someone who was. And maybe those who were bringing people were just bringing people, but they wanted to be there for themselves too, and they couldn't admit that they just wanted to be there. They were hoping they could get some little healing for themselves as well. I don't know, maybe. But the point is, the whole city was there. Everyone had those needs. Everyone truly was searching for Jesus. Now, everyone has needs, whether physical and immediate or an existential deep longing for something. Everyone has these various needs. And if someone could change your life in an instant, wouldn't you consider lining up outside the door? Or at least bringing the people closest to you whose needs were more pressing than your own? Just a little caveat to this as I move forward. I'm not saying that everyone needs to adopt our Christian faith in the same way we understand it. When they say everyone is searching for Jesus, I don't mean like a Jesus exclusivist thing. Like, I mean, maybe, but that's not really the point, because too much damage over too many centuries has been done to too many people by assuming this exclusivist my way or hell, my way or death, my way is the only way kind of belief. So we don't want to be doing that. I mean, let Muslims be Muslims, let Jews be Jews, Buddhists be Buddhists, let people have their own belief systems and faith. That doesn't change the fact that everyone is searching for something. And as followers of Jesus, at our best, we can listen to everyone, find out what their needs are, and work together with them on meeting those needs. We don't have to change their worldview or their belief system necessarily. And if we do, it won't be because we demand it of them. It'll be because we have demonstrated the power that our faith holds in our lives and in their lives. So, with that caveat out of the way, Jesus had so many people to cure and to heal, to teach and to touch. He had so many demons to cast out, so much evil holding people captive. I think that's a valuable way of understanding what Jesus did, especially in these early chapters of Mark's gospel. Jesus sets people free from the power of evil in whatever form, free from illness, from lies and manipulation, from possession by demons, whatever that meant. I don't want to get too far into what that meant. I like to be ambiguous. I prefer official ambiguity about what these demons were, these spirits. I don't know for sure. But, you know, they really had a real effect on people's lives, whatever it was, whether it was mental illness or actual, like, conscious demon devil things, whatever it was, it hurt people. And Jesus set them free from that power. Jesus set people free from hunger. Jesus set people free from loneliness and isolation. Now, Peter's mother-in-law was ill, and Jesus set her free from her illness. It says, to serve them. And there's some feminist concerns to be raised here, I think, that a woman was cured only to serve men. That's not a great look, honestly, in these days. But, I mean, this was her life, and honestly, like, looking around right now at my life, how much would I jump at the chance to welcome people into my home, to provide hospitality for them, to make food, to make sure they were comfortable, that they could sit at my own place? That would be the most amazing thing that happened to me literally in a year. Something I would have taken for granted every day up until that point, I think. And so I'm not going to begrudge Peter's mother-in-law for getting better and doing something that maybe she really loved to do as well, something she could have been great at. As Ken Barrett pointed out in Bible study this week, maybe that was her thing. Let her have her thing. I don't need to impose something else on that. So anyway, the point is, Jesus set her free from her illness, from her fever, so that she could do that, so that she could be in community, so that she could participate in the work in her own way. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Providing hospitality, you know, was a vital act of community building in Jesus' time, and it remains that today. So good for Peter's mother-in-law. And that's just, again, the one specific example of how Jesus set somebody free, not just to feel better, but to engage, to participate, to do the thing that needs to be done. That's what freedom in Christ can mean for us and for other people. Right now, today, people are suffering so many of the same ills as in Jesus' time. This pandemic that leaves us unable to leave our houses, afraid of contact with other people. We have the political division in our nation, in our communities, even in our own families in some cases. We have the racial divisions and inequities that have persisted and evolved for centuries in this country, separating us from those who should be our sisters and our brothers. All of these ways that we are kept separate from one another are evil in one way or another. Many of the, you know, theologians of the 20th century talked about, you know, sin ultimately is separation. It's separation from God, and it's separation from right relationship with other people. That's what sin is. Whether it's something that I do that causes that separation, or whether it's something that is done to me that happens to me, the fact is that I'm separate, I'm isolated, I'm alone. That's not the state that humanity, or that God wants humanity to be in. God wants us to be connected to one another and to God. Again, to love and serve God and to love and serve our neighbor. That's the deal. We'll talk about it all the time. And then there's this whole realm of internal concerns that keep us from engaging fully with one another. And maybe this is where those evil spirits, those demons come in. I don't know. But things like depression, isolation, anxiety, loneliness, other mental illnesses, other, you know, developmental concerns. There's so many things that can be going on inside us that you can't tell by looking at a person, but that can really debilitate and tear us down. And it can be even harder in these days when we're physically isolated from one another. Or maybe in some cases, I think it's bringing those things to the surface so clearly that we can't hide them from other people anymore, even if we're alone in our homes. All of that is very real. And it was real in Jesus' day, too. They had different language for it. They had a different understanding. But the fact is, like, mental illness has always been there. Difference has always been there among us. And we've always needed to be in relationship with one another, to listen to one another, to find out the nature of those concerns and to help in the ways that we can. And of course, you know, physical illness, actual, you know, right now, COVID-19, but all the other diseases too that didn't stop just because there's a pandemic. You know, I guess there's a few less germs running around these days. Yay, lucky us. But nonetheless, all of that stuff, this disease, this pandemic, it's very real. I read that a year ago yesterday was the first known recorded death of an American to COVID-19. A woman named Patricia in San Jose, California, was, I think, 57 years old is what I read last night somewhere. So that was a year ago yesterday, the first person died of COVID-19 in this country. By now, it's killed over 460,000 Americans. It'll be over 500,000 before you know it. And over 2.3 million people around the world, based on the statistics I read last night, have died of COVID-19. And that's just the ones that we know about, that we're sure about. And it's thousands and thousands more every day. And many who don't die of this disease are sick for weeks or even months. And we have no idea what the long-term health effects are. We've seen scans of people's lungs being messed up, heard about, like, you know, blood clots and things like that, and memory issues and neurological concerns. I mean, we have no idea what all is going on with this disease yet. It's so new. We don't even know the long-term things. So, no, I'm freaking myself out, so I'm sorry about that. It's not where I meant to go. But, you know, please continue to wash your hands, wear a mask, stay home as much as you can, and please get that vaccine as soon as you're able to do that. I hear from people who've gotten the vaccine that it's like, it feels like a weight has been lifted off just getting that first shot. Dennis is sitting over here. He likes to talk about how he's half invincible now. So he's just trying to make excuses to get out of the house, I think. But really, like, take care of yourself as much as you possibly can, and get that vaccine. And we're making it through this pandemic. Many of us, I mean, many of us are not making it through. Many of us have already gotten sick. But some of us who've been healthy have a chance to remain healthy just a few more months, we hope, until we can start to open up and start to be around people again. Whew. So, everyone is looking for you, they said to Jesus. And again, with all the things going on in our world that I just mentioned, and so many more that I didn't have time for, right? Everyone is searching for something. It's so clear. Everyone is searching for health and for safety, for connection, for community, especially in these days. People are searching for beauty and hope and meaning. People are searching to breathe easy, to rest, to let their guard down, maybe in a way that we haven't for a whole year because of this pandemic, or maybe more for other reasons. Now, you on this, in this worship service as we're gathered online here today, you have the benefit of already knowing Jesus. You already believe. In an important sense, you already have Jesus. You don't need to be looking for him in the way that some do. And yet, you still have need. You still are looking for something. And see, that's the thing about our faith in Jesus. It's not an instant miraculous cure for what ails us. I wish it was. Faith can bring us hope or optimism, even trust in God to lead us safely through. Faith can bring us that kind of peace. But still, the full power of faith is not just in our thoughts and our feelings. The full power of faith is also in the community that we have with one another, in the way that we care for one another, the way we listen to one another. We hold each other's hands and hug each other. And now I'm getting sad again because we're on stupid Zoom. I'm tired of it. We're doing this for too long. It won't last forever. Ugh. Our faith is not just between each of us and God. It's not private and individual. That's like American values and American individualism sneaking in and calling itself Christianity. That's not what it is. The power of faith is all of us together, recognizing that through Jesus, we together can be so much more than we ever were alone. That's the true power of Jesus Christ. Remember how the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ in the world, and you are members of it. Our body has been scattered and separated and messed up in this year in a way that we hadn't recognized before. And so there's never been a better time to remember, to trust, to believe, to draw on the strength of a lifetime of faith that so many of you have had, that's so inspiring to me as somebody who's relatively newer to the game, right? There's never been a better time to remember how through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we have been set free from the power of sin and death, free to live, not just for ourselves. I don't just live for myself, and you don't just live for yourself, but we live for others. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that freedom, that unhindered, unseparated connection and relationship, can empower you to begin to break down the barriers between you and your neighbors, between you and the people around you. That's how the miracle of Jesus and his presence plays out today in our lives. And remember, the whole city was gathered around the door. Everyone has these needs. So, at that point, you can dare to ask and dare to really think about, what are you looking for? What are you searching for? At its best, the church is the community in which we can be vulnerable, daring to share that which afflicts us, daring to admit that we don't have all the answers or the resources we need to thrive. It's the place where it's okay to not be perfect, ever. It's the place we can be vulnerable, sharing our needs and our resources with one another and building one another up. Sometimes you're the one providing for others, and sometimes you're the one needing that provision. And that's the beauty of the community. That's the point. You don't have to be the one that's strong all the time. You don't have to be the one that's strong all the time. You don't have to be only a giver. That's not what the church is about. The church is about mutual aid and consolation. And when you've received that aid and consolation and some of the needs that you have, then you can listen to others and you can find out what they're looking for. You can work with them and meet their needs together. The essence of Christian faith, again, in our lives, is loving and serving God by loving and serving our neighbors. I know you, if you're listening to this, I know everybody on this call, I know you've been doing this your whole life in one way or another, or both, in many ways. I know you've been doing it, and I bet you're not sure what it looks like now or how to do it right now in these strange and uncertain days, and I don't know. I don't have the answer to that either. But I do know that you can start small. You start with someone, find someone, have a conversation safely. Reach out to someone. Share your need, listen to theirs, build the trust that allows you to work together to bring the presence of Jesus for one another, and then reach out again to someone else. That's where we are. That's how we make it through together as the body of Christ. Amen.